Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Podcast starts now.
Wow.
Welcome all to the show. You know, we as podcast hosts started this humble little journey so long ago, and now we find ourselves not only in Manhattan, not only at the top of the Empire State Building, but with such big names in the studio.
Big names in the studio. Big names in the studio. A crew of, I would say, over 25 people.
There are families that are being fed yes. because of this podcast. There are homes being bought. Not us buying them, of course. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, families being neglected because of this podcast. None of these people have seen their families in weeks because they have been in our basement sort of control room.
Yeah.
Saying, how many important people in food media can we get on the podcast?
PETA keeps calling
yes.
because
yes.
everyone's pets are starving.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're protesting the chicken piccata for one.
And, you know, I don't feel guilty, to be honest.
No, I don't feel guilty at all. And you know what? I'll say this.
Say
today,
it.
And I decided before we went into this recording that I would be chill. I feel like it's so tacky to walk in and be like, I cannot believe who we have today. She is a mother. She is my favorite person in the world. She is the only person that got me through the last 3 years.
The pandemic was so hard. And like, when I think about this person, like.
But I'll say this, you know, she has been a character on our show since pretty much the beginning.
Yeah, to the point where it's like, oh, wait, she's real?
I know. It's sort of crazy. Yeah, that's why. She walked in and I immediately touched her hair and said, what?
I was like, did we build you?
Huh? Are you not an AI?
I've always thought of you as a mythic space.
Right, right. A mythic space, not even a mythic creature.
No, a mythic space.
A sort of, wait, are we in Pandora?
Yeah, it's something to project onto what you need to.
Yeah. Which is all to say, this fucking better go well.
Well, you know, not to be a complete and utter bitch right off the mm-hmm, bat, but
course.
I did think about texting you, George, and
yeah.
being like, just make sure you're normal this episode. Like,
I know.
Don't let the pressure get to you. Like,
it's tough. It's tough. It's tough because, you know, someone who is known for a specific thing, aka recipes.
Correct.
You know, they're asked the same questions over and over again.
Sure.
But yet the reason they're asked those questions is because they're the questions everyone wants answers to. But I can't be unoriginal. It's one of the defining defining mottos of my life.
This is genius.
I've never done anything someone else has done, ever.
Never. Not once.
And I'm not going to start today.
First gay guy to host a podcast.
Exactly. First gay guy to make an Allison Roman recipe. And first gay guy to call Allison Roman a mother.
You know, this is something that's actually really interesting where, like, I think we both have the urge when someone is a specific thing.
By the way, we we told our guest we would bring her in fast, but now I'm sort of into what we're doing, which is just ignoring her completely.
She needs to see this.
She needs to see this.
I am literally sitting right here. Allison, very please, uncomfortable.
Oh my God.
Please be quiet.
She can talk. Yeah. Well, one thing that I think we both have is that we are actually avoidant of like the thing that is expected of us, sometimes to our detriment.
To our detriment. I would say, for instance, if that thing is monetizing our careers, we're going to step as far away from that as possible.
Another thing is...
if that thing is defining the premise of a podcast, we say no. What are we, Michael Barbaro? I don't think so.
Yeah, we can't be tamed. And if that thing is, you know, having a... you know, food person on the show, we're going to be like, maybe we should talk sweaters.
I know. I'm sort of like, what makes her tick? And don't say food. Okay, we have to bring her in.
Okay.
What do you think?
I mean,
we can keep talking.
I don't know. I kind of am loving this little kiki. This little cat and mouse. this little tease.
You know what? I believe in letting women speak.
Thank you. And I'm sorry.
Especially women in food. And actually, those are the only women I like to hear speak. So without further ado, please welcome Mother Allison Roman.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here. That was also very fun for me, but I was laughing in real time.
Of course,
it was like podcast live.
And luckily, it's on video.
Oh, right. Oh, my God.
So we'll
I definitely forgot about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I'm like, with my little water bottle in the corner.
No, it's actually huge. If you weren't laughing, I'd be walking out at this point.
What? Yeah. Imagine.
Could
never meet
huge.
Your heroes, you know? Didn't want to meet her. That was a horrible experience.
Yeah, I liked her better as a mythic space.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm like,
be on YouTube.
Yeah. Ew, in person. I actually feel a lot of that lately where I'm like meeting a lot of people and they're like, form these parasocial relationship with you during the pandemic and spend a lot of time with me as a person, not in real life. And I am so afraid of people being disappointed by the real me.
Mm.
Not like in any sort of like psychological way, but in like a... I'm like, no, go back when I'm amazing.
Totally.
Go back when I'm mother.
Yes.
in real life, this is not good.
What's your approach? Do you try to be like I'm super normal, I am just like you, or do you try to be like, oh, you know me from this? Oh, well, then I guess I can't talk to you because you're a fan. Like,
no.
Are you rude? Or?
No.
Rude can be a power move. It can be a weapon.
Yeah, you should be rude.
No, I'm not in person.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you are
in private.
Like, wait,
no.
So you're in print.
Yeah.
What happens to us sometimes is because we'll be like ironically mean or something, then people will approach us and be huge bitches to us.
Yeah.
Thinking
really?
That that's a way to be like endearing.
Yeah. People will be, they'll say really weird stuff.
That's what you can do when you're a man.
Yeah.
On International Women's Month, I feel like we should get into that. But,
yeah, where do you stand on international women?
I love the whole month. I love all the women of all of the continents.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself an international woman?
Sometimes.
Yeah,
depending
same.
On the month.
Sure. Why not?
You divulged that you are coming from a berries class.
I did other things in between,
sure.
This was a rare day where I had the time to do a workout class.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I'm going to spend the time and the money to work out, I want to feel like I'm going to die.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I really am afraid of it.
Me too.
Don't be afraid of it. You can just not do the work.
Okay. Is that true?
Like if they're like running an 8, like I'm over there at a 5.5, 6 and no
Are
one
we talking
cares.
Running in place?
No, on a treadmill.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so yes.
So yes.
Yeah.
Like we're
so
not
I was right.
going
Thank
anywhere.
You.
Yeah, I formed like an attachment to that specific workout class like years ago.
Interesting.
And I'm like, well, that's the only one that works. Even though I have no physical evidence that it has worked, in my head, if I go, it will work.
First of all, we do not tolerate negative speak on this podcast.
No, yeah. I mean, it's self-deprecation. But I'm like, I'm not a Pilates or bar class girly.
I'm like Pilates and yoga. And those are the two things that as a... man sort of don't do anything because you want to be like you want to be Buff O'Clock, you want to be Glenn
yeah.
Powell. Why don't I look like Glenn Powell? I'm doing
know.
Yoga every
doing
day
bar.
Yeah, I for me it's like classes in general, you know, I'm a little counterculture for that.
Of course,
it's as soon as someone's telling me to do it, I'm like, well, I don't want to do it now because I'm not doing it for me, I'm doing it for you,
right? Well, see, that's the thing, is I need to be told what to do.
Same.
In a like specific concentrated period of time.
I also get toxically competitive, where if I'm seeing other people in the class, I'm like, well, I need to do better than them.
Yeah.
And if I, and I'll actually push myself too hard and get too involved.
I always hit the run if it's like at a 9.0, which mm-hmm. I rarely hit, but I'll always go 9.1 if the lady next to me is at a 9.
Sure. Sure.
I did better.
Wow. What you're describing is a literal scene from Top Gun Maverick. Remember when he's like, it's like 9
yes,
point.
My favorite movie. I just saw it.
We just saw it too.
We actually just saw
it. Yeah, same. No, literally I just saw it.
What did you think?
I loved every goddamn second. It was a thing that I did not plan to enjoy at all.
Yeah.
And I was like,
we were
more.
Sort of, I know. We were sort of like torn between being appalled and being like all in. And I was like, what is Jennifer Connelly doing here? Like, why is her
looking
name Penny?
Looking great. That's she looks
incredible.
Doing.
She was looking incredible. She was playing the role of actress on a red carpet.
Yes.
Who happens to be at a bar.
Yes. Too hot for that role.
Yeah, entirely.
And we were talking about how the villain is completely not only unnamed, but unseen.
Unseen, yeah.
Like, literally, even when you see them.
Where are we? We don't know. We're at the beach. We're on the ocean. We're the snowy Alps. We don't, the desert.
We have no idea where we are. All we know is that America is good.
Yeah. And we are under siege.
We are
under siege. And we need to be saved ASAP.
We need to be saved ASAP, and we're under siege from enemy.
Yeah.
Enemy redacted.
Well, it was International Enemies Month.
It was International Enemies Month. We don't even know the gender of the enemy, honestly.
Because
we don't hear them speak. We don't know race, ethnicity, gender. Like, we don't know anything about them.
Location, specifically. Yeah.
Location,
it would be even a start.
Do you know
anything.
What? It could even be, it could actually be a progressive story, because what if the enemy is the enemy within? The enemy is
it's calling
sort of,
from inside the house.
It's calling
your,
from
it's
inside
your
the house.
Saboteur.
It's your inner saboteur.
That's literally what the movie's about, is Tom Cruise beating his inner saboteur.
Yeah. Wow.
And learning to love the other, Miles Teller.
So in that sense, it's sort of a queer narrative. It's, in fact, it's aggressively homosexual.
Yeah. It's erotic, even. It's porn.
Yeah, it's porn. It should be banned from schools. Wow. I am riding high on caffeine. Can you tell?
I can't, actually. You're holding it very well.
I just had a cappuccino.
Well.
I feel like it's not hitting.
Really?
The way that like a cup of black coffee does, which is my normal beverage.
Do you? See, cappuccino is one of those, a cappuccino is one of those things that like once a year, I'll be like, I'm feeling Italian, I'll have a cappuccino. And then it never hits the way I want it to hit. Mm. Because you're just sort of like digging through foam. And
well,
you're
like,
where's
little,
the coffee?
To me, it's like a little treat.
Of
but
course.
Also, to be fair, I needed to pee, and so I went to the Lochlum.
Rare.
Because I know that you can pee in there.
When I want a little treat, I'll go for like a cortado.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes that's the espresso's too aggressive for me.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I just get a small
My delicate
coffee.
System.
Yeah. Do you ever do a specialty drink? Like a non-coffee, like a matcha?
No.
No.
I had, there was matcha in my post-berry smoothie.
Wow.
Your lifestyle today is like so beautiful.
I know, and I didn't plan it this way, but I... It's like if you had asked me any other day this week, it would not have been the case. But I did a post-berry smoothie.
Totally. But it's also like being in Manhattan, when you have the opportunity and the privilege to be in Manhattan, you are like, oh, suddenly my bank account does not matter.
No.
I'm literally going and having like a full meal at three meals at Via Corona.
Yeah, I'm sitting there all day.
Lunch and dinner.
I will be holding court for a full 9 hours. Yeah.
It's just like.
Otherwise, you can't get a table.
Yeah. And not to dox you further, you walked in with a Rachel Comey bag. So we're talking berries, Rachel Comey, and a live podcast recording at the iHeart
Studios.
This
is a very unique day.
Yeah.
Not only because I'm sitting here with you two, whom I love, but it is because I do not go shopping in person. I honestly don't even online shop anymore unless I'm going to a wedding. I need like a fucking outfit.
Totally.
But I have time to kill, which almost never happens. But I finished an appointment and was like, oh, I thought that was going to go longer. I had 2 full hours to myself, which... Again, I can't stress this enough. Does not happen. Normally, I have my laptop with me. I'm like, I'll post up somewhere. I'm like, gotta work, gotta be efficient, gotta produce content.
Well, you have to.
You have to.
But
you're literally
like
breaking into
walked.
Someone's kitchen. You're like, I have a recipe.
What's your Wi-Fi?
And I was like, maybe I'll walk uptown because I also thought this was in Chelsea, this studio. So I was planning on
the way we don't
we're gay.
Know the way we don't.
Yeah, because we're gay. I was like, well, they only go to Poor Hell's Kitchen.
First.
I was like, there's only
Does
one.
Does the cock
places.
Have a podcast studio?
Oh, I guess we're going to the Eagle. You know, I actually know exactly what you're. It's like when you have 2 hours free, especially in Manhattan, you feel the need. I recently bought a rugby shirt at J. Crew. Something I've never in my life worn a rugby shirt, and. Now I feel like, oh, in fact, Sam, you're
wearing
one right
Sam,
now.
I was
going to
say, Sam, you're wearing
okay,
one.
Okay, I didn't plan on that. But sometimes when you see someone wearing, especially like an oversized rugby shirt, it almost looks like cool and streetwear.
Mm.
But then you forget, like, what I look. It's like, if I wear a rugby shirt, you can just tell it's from J. Crew. Like, right. It's not.
It's like the.
Like, I looked in the mirror and I expected myself to look like a sort of hype beast.
But you want me like Chris Black. But yeah. Like, but
literally. Yeah. Yes. Past guest Chris Black.
Yeah. Shout out.
Shout out.
Keep it in the family.
Yeah, truly. Yeah.
No, it's very different. And I think that it does sort of pump your brain full of like Disneyland chemicals of exactly. Being like, I'm in New York and yeah. I, you know, can do whatever I want. And, but also, I was like, I have some things coming up and mm-hmm. I have not a thing to wear. And yeah. So, you know.
I also had a free morning to kill. I hit the Y for the swimming laps. And
did
then
you?
I,
that's way more luxurious than going to a Barry's class.
It's very alt. So it's like
it's very counterculture.
Exactly. It's really very counterculture. To go to the Y to swim.
How de Blasio.
Yes, exactly. Very de Blasio.
Man of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had, you know, 2.5 hours to kill. Oh, I sat in a coffee shop and I sent emails all morning.
How many? Several.
Maybe 100. And it was actually, I felt like I was like, okay, I'm wealthy. I felt like I was on top of it.
Yeah.
I really, and like being in Manhattan, it's like, no, this isn't just an email. Like, this could change the world. Like, what if an email, like,
what if somebody reached the watches president? You being how efficient you are and it's like, excuse me, do you want a job?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you want a money?
Wait, excuse me. We're looking for a CEO.
Yeah. look like you have your shit together.
There was a woman.
I work at Merrill Lynch. We're looking for a CEO.
There was a woman like 2 tables over, like talking to someone and just like going off and off and off about like, well, the brand partnership, well, the platform, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, ugh, she's so annoying. Anyway, oh, I'm so important. I'm so important. I'm so important.
Yeah. And I bet you looked important.
I looked incredible.
Yeah, well, you're wearing a rugby.
Yeah. Also, I will say again, this room is important. I feel like this is a professional sort of situation that we're all in, and I feel more important for being here.
Yeah. You know what's important about this room? So they told us many times, you're going to be in the red room. You're going to be in the red room.
You know what's also called the red room? Barry's.
Whoa.
Yeah, they call it the red room.
Oh my God. Brand
alignment.
Partnership. Brand alignment.
Oh my God. Yeah. The platform.
Wait, we're being hosted by Barry's. We're being hosted by Barry's. Everyone do your push-ups. but it really got me thinking how important. Like, you can just paint any room red, and it's the red room, and then suddenly it's branded.
I mean, what that goes for any color, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, for sure.
No, Allison, get him. No, get him.
What I'm saying is, God. What I'm saying is, it's easy to just turn a room of any, just do one thing to it that is distinctive, and then it suddenly you have the, because we have been to so many other studios, I wouldn't know what to call those rooms, or just a studio.
It's like Studio A, Studio B.
Studio A, Studio B.
Yeah.
How traditional.
Yeah, that's kind of throwback. Yeah.
Not
the
for
red
Sam.
Room.
Yeah, the red room. I do feel like red room also reminds you of sort of red table talk.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Which brings me to our first question.
Yeah.
What is your relationship with your family?
How much time do you have? I don't think you really want to know that, so I'm not going to answer it earnestly.
Absolutely.
Okay. Fine.
Allison, should we do our first? I'm like in a hurry to get through our first segment because I want to get into the meat of the episode. Is that crazy?
I'm just scared. Like, we've never in the history of this podcast done the first segment this early.
Oh my God, it is. Is early because we didn't do an intro.
Because we didn't do an intro.
You know what?
This
though?
Is the intro. I feel like it, this the, is intro the intro just brought me in.
Yeah,
yeah.
And also, I have an extra segment.
Yeah.
So let's do our first
a fun
segment.
Game.
Okay, yeah. We're gonna do our first segment.
Okay. Early. Great.
Yeah.
Our first segment is called Straight Shooters, and in this segment, we test your familiarity with and complicity in straight culture by asking you a series of completely nonsensical rapid-fire questions where you have to choose one thing or another thing. And the one rule is you can't ask any follow-up questions about how it works. You just have to choose.
I'm just picking the word.
I hear a question.
That's a follow-up question.
Oh. Just seeing how far I can push it. I don't know.
Allison, reading the New York Post or being attracted to Colin Jost?
Being attracted to Colin Jost.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Allison, a brand partnership or a man to hug and kiss?
A man to hug and kiss.
Allison, crying at the end of The Shawshank Redemption or prying into the private lives of the members of One Direction?
Crying at the end of The Shawshank Redemption.
Okay, Allison, filling in the blank or rolling in the deep?
Ooh, that's good.
Filling in the blank.
Allison, okay, you don't have to answer this one if you don't want to. The iconic Bloomingdale's brown bag or a demonic Twinkie frail white fag?
I'm going to go bag on that one.
Tasteful. Okay, how to lose a guy in 10 days, 10 things I hate about you, or 10 knit?
Huh?
10
well,
knit.
That was three and everything else was two, but I'm going to definitely go 10 things I hate about you.
Okay, Allison.
I'm like, come on, that was a good one.
That was really good. I'm sorry, I doubted
but
you.
But it was three, it was confusing.
Well, we do three sometimes.
We do three sometimes, and every time.
Unconventional.
Yes, the guest can handle it.
Wow. Well, She clearly can.
Compliment taken.
Allison, shoplifting from American Apparel or regifting the tacky picture frame you got from your Aunt Meryl? I couldn't decide if I was going to pronounce it aunt or aunt, so I said aunt.
Well, that's not a word. American Apparel?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, Allison. A Saturn return or a Jupiter go away?
Saturn return.
You know, I have to say Jupiter ascending was right there, and I really appreciate that you didn't go for the obvious choice.
I mean, I'm noticing a theme.
Yeah.
You are yourself.
Sam is you are very alt.
Okay, now I feel the alt branding is going too far. It's going a little red room, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's like, yes, I have alt-leaning tendencies, but I'm not insane. I can play by the rules, you know. I send emails just like everybody else.
In fact, you said several this morning.
I'm not at the typewriter, you know, mailing them out.
Well, you're sort of an FKA Twigs figure, you know. You are.
I thought that when I came in there, actually. I was like, you know what I'm getting from over here?
It's like, she, you know, you do these, you're a Pitchfork artist, but you also have done an ad for the Apple glasses.
Yeah, that actually is entirely the fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, how do we get there?
I would say that that's like where I aspire to.
Yeah, I feel like
I aspire to that. And I feel very secure in that now.
Totally.
Where I used to be like, I won't do ads for this, and I can't be bought. And I'm like, I can be bought. I can be so bought.
Totally.
But it allow that money then allows me to do the what was the FK?
The Apple.
The Pitchfork.
Oh, yes. The Pitchfork.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I want to be reviewed by Pitchfork, but I want the money from David Yurman.
100%.
Sure.
That's a pipe dream.
And honestly, David
Yurman, call me.
That's a great brand. You know, you didn't go for the you didn't go for Tiffany's. Like,
no.
David
it's a
Yurman.
Little,
it's, yeah.
You know?
It's a little off the beaten path.
Yeah. It's a little Sam.
Yeah. David Yurman screams Sam.
Yeah. A name synonymous with alt.
With alt.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
What would your ideal brand partnership be?
I feel like this is a questionnaire from like a management team.
Yeah, totally.
100%.
Answer, and I'm always like, whoever.
And by the way, we're signing you.
Money. Honestly, I would say anything that I already use, wear, and do.
Totally.
I'm not like a person who wants the most money in something. But
so berries.
Honestly,
would
they're
be
like,
huge.
We'll give you free berries classes for life and you have to talk about it on every interview you do. I would say 1,000,000% yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a follow-up question. What's your least favorite brand you could partnership? What's the one?
He is being so gotcha right now. You don't have to answer that.
I feel trapped. I feel unsafe. Next.
We were like, when we were when we first signed with iHeart, I'll say it, we were asked like for affinity brands, like brands we would potentially want to do ads for.
Yeah.
And for whatever, my boyfriend is obsessed with nuts.com, and now I have sort of been brought on as a
Did you see, wait, sorry, sidebar, did you see the nuts store that they opened in our neighborhood?
No.
Yeah, well, you're in
or
redacted.
Yeah, I'm in redacted. Bleep it.
No one's stalking us. It's okay.
There's a full like block, like a half block long nut store on Atlantic and Smith that just opened.
Oh, but it's not nuts.com.
It's not nuts.com,
okay.
But it is nuts.com in person. Like, it's like just nuts and like nut related items in bulk.
It's not Carpo, is it? There's this British store called Carpo.
I don't know. I didn't pay attention.
Okay, that's fine.
I just saw the nuts and I was like,
well, you know what? I'm going to check that out because I need to know, because nuts.com.
Well, also nuts.com is funny. They also have more than nuts.
It's funny. What about, like, would a store that just sells nuts speak to you in the same way that nuts.com speaks to you? Or is there something about the branding of nuts.com that
is the branding. Well, first of all, Allison is right. They have way more than nuts. And it's also like, it's also like fun nuts. You know, it's like,
We're not like other nuts.
Everything bagel, cashews. Well, that's sort of a little Trader Joe's-y.
I was gonna say that.
You know what? I take that back. But like, they'll do pretzel, honey mustard pretzel pieces. Okay, I'm not selling.
No, those
it.
Are
I'm
good.
Not selling it.
But those sound normal.
But those are normal. You're right.
That's a snack.
I need to think of a really good
a comestible.
One.
You can find that in a Kroger.
Yeah.
Wow. They're like, we don't want you guys. We don't want to advertise with you guys. Like, you do not know how to sell this product.
Actively bad job.
It's literally like people are going to be like, oh, I guess I don't like nuts.com.
I was in and then I was out.
Yeah. I guess I'll just go to the nut store in Cobble Hill and call it a day.
Yeah. I'm doing them a huge favor.
Yeah. Truly. If only, but you don't remember the name of the store.
No,
so honestly,
I don't.
No
well,
one
it's
is
new
there.
And I have a bad memory.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
fair. Wow. Okay, so you're refusing to answer what brand you don't want to collaborate with.
Yeah, to recap. Yeah, it's a long list.
No, it's of course. I'm like...
I'm like, do I have one?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Everyone has one. There's a million.
I know. But,
and there's always a reason to not.
I know.
But everyone also has a price.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, would you do this for $5? No. Would you do it for $5,000? Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or if you can do it in your own way. I was asked to do something for a redacted famous person's energy drink brand. And I was like, No. Like the number was just too low. Mm-hmm. And then finally they're like, we'll come up. And I was like, do I get to like say that I don't like it? Or do I get to like be in on the joke that this like person even has one? Mm-hmm. And I drank it and I'm like, yeah, it's actually like pretty good. Am I going to drink this every day? Absolutely not. I'd probably die. Like, and they were like, do whatever you want. I was like, oh, well then I can talk about it.
Totally.
Sometimes people just want you to talk about something.
They wait, so did you
like,
get
nuts.
The gig?
Nuts.com. I don't know if I did, actually.
Oh, well, it's good that you're talking about it on air.
Well, if they... I know. Well, I'll still do it. Yeah. But I think it went away. I think it, like, didn't pan out. But it was one of those things where, like, would never be on a list of dream partnerships. Totally. But I'm like, oh, sure. That's kind of funny. And, like, sure.
Yeah,
I completely agree. Well, it's also, like, if you're going to do an ad, it's almost better to do it for a stupid thing and make it funny than to be overly earnest and be like... Nuts.com
I used to have,
made me come out of the closet.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nuts.com made me gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's the sort of like, I won't do this. And I'm like, no, I will, actually. Because also, I have a business to run here.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not independently wealthy.
Yeah.
Not yet.
And interestingly, neither are...
Because I'm always shopping at Rachel Comey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you're not independently wealthy because you keep going to Barry's and Rachel Comey.
Yeah, four times a day. I mean, you look incredible. Don't get me wrong.
I actually have to get out of here at 5 for abs and ass.
I'm trying to think of what a funny brand partnership for Stradio Lab would be. And I honestly think, hear me out, I think this would be really funny as an ad to do would be like Rolex.
Oh my god, LOL. So funny.
From us, it would be funny because it would be like trying to be like luxury and we could not sell it. And I think it would be such a left turn that
let's just
it
hope
would
for
be
our
really
Rothies,
funny.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's just fingers 100%. Crossed for our Rothies for you.
I would honestly love anything that isn't direct to consumer. Because I feel like that sounds so.
I hate the direct. Yeah, that's like, I'm a legacy grant person.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. Even like, God, what's a good legacy? Literally the other day when I was at J. Crew, I was like, finally, a store.
They don't make them like they used to.
I mean, truly.
Wow.
Wait, Sam, is your shirt J. Crew?
Yes.
Oh my God, wow.
They would be good for you, but then also maybe too earnest.
Yeah, it would
well,
be too real.
But you know, with the Chris Black connection, they are really rebranding.
I know. And yeah, that's true. Listen, I'm trying to work with them too.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you would be great.
Get me in there.
Yeah, I think you're in.
I am them. I am J. Crew. They call me J. Crew.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We are both dealing with such different issues in our day-to-day lives. You have a full-time job in Los Angeles. You've had to uproot your home. You have to figure out work-life balance. Meanwhile, I am a freelancer in New York City. How do I fit it all in one day? How do I create my own schedule? What am I, some boss lady in a film?
You know, it's so hard. You have to be boss and employee. But you know what? We can't keep these things bottled up. You know, we need to let them out.
That's right. People all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And when you bottle them up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
I'll tell you something. Therapy in the past for me has been just a place where once a week I can tell someone what I'm thinking of in a safe and enclosed space where no one can enter and ask me to send an email, because it is my time and it is my time for therapy. And everyone deserves that in all across this great nation.
Yeah. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and hey, suited for your schedule.
So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Stradio today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Stradio. Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. you'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Wait, I have a question for you. So we are newly recording video on our podcast, and as a YouTuber.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'm flattered.
Wow. As a YouTuber.
I got to go.
Wow. Even YouTubers can be mothers.
First. Yeah. As a YouTuber first and foremost. I sort of think of you in the
same
breath.
I am not a YouTuber first and foremost. And now I'm only looking at the camera because you have gave me brain worms that I'm a movie star.
Do
okay?
You know James Charles?
No, but I know who he is.
My question is, you know, we are in front of the camera for the first time. I would say this is like our third episode that we're doing video.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
George, your hair is phenomenal.
Get him.
You know, I'll say this. I buzz my hair and I'll say it, I'll do a fade. So before we started recording, I took off my hat and I was like,
you're so brave.
I was like, I hope my hair looks fine. And Allison, with full of contempt, goes, what hair?
You don't have any.
Yeah, no, in that moment, I said, thank you. Thank you. Someone is being truthful in the studio.
I cannot believe this.
I was shocked.
No, but only to see, the hair that you have is great.
Thank you.
You're extremely handsome. But yeah, I can't imagine anything being out of place.
No, I actually don't think it's possible. Yeah. Like, I would love to see it messed up.
Exactly. Like, what are we looking at here?
See, to me, so here's what I mean. Like, if I wear a hat, let's say, and my buzz cut is a little overgrown, it will be like sort of look like a geological map. Like it will have like ups
and downs.
A topography. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. But the good news is I'm wearing headphones, so it sort of doesn't matter.
It's going to create a new topography.
Well, yeah. Oh, yes, exactly. It's going to create a new topography, and it's going to look bad. Allison, my question for you is, as someone who works in visual media, how much do you think about like repeating outfits, like, I don't know, these things that we have.
That's
we
a good question.
A lot,
actually.
Yeah. A lot. It actually has had, like, in total earnestness, has had, like, a pretty detrimental effect on my self-image, like, i.e. how I feel like I look physically, wearing clothes, how they fit, what I'm wearing. It's a nightmare. It's hell. Because you also have to, like, you don't just get to, like, record the video and it's out in the world. Like, you have to, like, watch the edits. You have to do the thing.
Oh.
Like, you have to engage with yourself as, like, this avatar all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And you're like, I repeat shirts now that I've worn a year ago.
Yeah.
But I own too many button downs. And now I'm sort of like, well, if I only wear button downs, then I can just repeat the button down. Like, rather than feeling like, oh, you're wearing the George Michael shirt again.
Sure,
like,
sure.
You can't wear that more than twice.
So yeah, you're doing almost like the Red Room of clothing.
Yeah, that's sort of how I think about it. Yeah.
Have you considered painting your kitchen red?
It's on the table. Yeah, because then I can just rebrand entirely. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wait, and then the other thing is, we're both doing things on camera that inherently make you look, it's like we're podcasting, one of the most embarrassing things you could do with your time.
Mm.
And then you're cooking, which like inherently, like no matter how incredible you look, like it's gonna make you sweat, it's gonna make you like, you know, you're gonna get like a stain on your clothes. Like,
I'm more of a stain than a sweat.
Okay.
But
oh, that,
sometimes
that's lucky.
I do sweat.
I feel like if I was a food influencer, which I could be if I wanted to,
nuts.com, call me.
I would be making all your recipes, but I would be doing it with a sort of LGBTQ plus flair.
People do that, so. Sorry, that market has been cornered.
Wait, really? Is that true? Do people like?
Sure. I think
I guess,
well,
of course they do.
I think
not?
I'm a narcissist, so I'm like I'm like, that's my pasta or whatever. But like
wow.
It is. I think a mother knows her child.
Of course.
Do they call it their own?
So yeah, I think. But I think that that's people making content the best way they can, which is being like, oh, I saw this recipe, I liked it, I cooked it, and now I'm doing cilantro instead of parsley.
Right.
Wow. And I'm like, well, it's still my recipe.
Allison, wow. How would you feel if I did Julie and Julia for your recipes?
I think that people have also done that. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. No, but I think you should.
Okay. I think that could be fun.
I think if you sure. did it, it would be the first time you did it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's special.
Wow. That is so powerful.
Allison, have
no,
you...
Oh, well, something you said earlier I really, really resonate with, which is my whole personality, I feel like, is defined by my inability to think that anyone has ever done the thing before me.
100%.
Or I'm like, I did that. Or like the idea that I can't do something if I know someone else has done it.
Yeah.
It just
yes.
like it, and it's like, why? Who cares? Think of how much happier we'd be if we didn't care.
Well, especially because we're both in such crowded market. I mean, the market of like recipe development and the market of gay podcasts. It's like the two things that have the most people in them in the world.
Yeah, we have a lot of crossover. Yeah. People are going to love this episode.
I mean, truly.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that way when like someone has like when I've had like TV ideas or something and someone's like, oh yeah, they did that in the 90s with this. And I'm like, no, they didn't. No, they didn't.
I'm like, what? That, but it's different because.
Well, it's like I would do it different.
Or I'm like, if my life would be made easier by making a choice, I will actively not make that choice if I know somebody else has done it, even like remotely in a similar way, that like nobody would fucking care.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, and guess what? I care.
Yeah. And in fact, the secret to being successful, literally, is being unoriginal.
Yeah.
Of course.
Period.
Yeah. People do it every day. Yeah. And I'm like, you look happy.
Yeah.
I'm over here being like, it's hell. It's but that's why I don't look at anything, because then it's new to me. You know?
It's important to at least have deniability.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree.
You don't read or write or listen to anything.
I live in a cave.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who anyone is.
And then I go to the Y, and then I go back to the cave.
Yeah. In between writing a bunch of emails.
That's why today the emails felt so special, because I was out of my cave.
Yeah.
Do you ever do, you don't have to mention names, but like, do you ever sort of do like, peek into what other people in your quote unquote, you know, in your,
I was about to say
quote unquote industry, which sounds like I'm being incredibly condescending.
I know.
But that's not what I meant.
Your little business thingy.
Your little boop boop of the stogie.
Wait, okay. I have a question related to that. Is there a community of food people? Do you like hang out? Do you like talk? Come on.
There is one and I'm not.
Like,
okay.
In comedy.
Because we are, I mean, it is.
We literally know everyone who's ever done comedy.
But that's different because we are in like, so here's the thing. When we came up in comedy, like we're doing shows every night where we are in lineups with like seven other people. Like a comedy show is like a host and then there's like 4 to 7 comedians. So you meet people and then you are immediately, suddenly we're colleagues. We're coworkers and we're in a WeWork. Like, for day in, day out. And I feel like that is.
And if they're women, you support them.
Exactly.
Of course.
And that is actually very rare. Like, there is no equivalent for most other things. You would never be in like a sort of music festival for recipe developers where you're like,
it sounds like hell.
Yeah.
I would politely decline. I think that because I've been doing this for so long, and like I used to work in restaurants and then I worked in magazines and then I sort of went off on my own. I enjoy working alone. I enjoy that, like, I get to talk with other people and like work with who I choose and all that stuff. And I think that I know that I feel like there's like a vibe that like, oh, she doesn't want to sit with us or something.
With
and I'm
you?
Like, no. Well, because I've othered myself.
Totally.
Because I'm an independent person that enjoys like the, okay, I'm just going to do my own thing.
Yeah.
But there is a community of people. And I don't necessarily, there are people that I'm very close with, dear friends of mine, who I would say are in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
But at large, they feel the same way I do. Like, they're not part of, like, if you catch me on, like, a Friday night at casino, like, I'm not with other, like, food people.
Right. I think that's healthy.
Sure. It's probably better.
I don't know. I feel like it's also if you have other ambitions where you're like, I'm not just a comedian, I'm a podcaster.
Exactly. Thank you.
I'm a fashion influencer. I love nuts.
You are dragging me.
I know. I'm actually like very impressed.
I'm obsessed. But I
think that like, I don't know. I feel like that's the other thing too, is like just because you're in an industry doesn't mean you have to all like invite each other to your birthday party.
No, you're totally right.
Well, literally that is what it means for us, is that we're literally always.
Do you feel pressure to?
I do.
And why?
Because you don't want to offend people. I don't.
Yeah.
Like, it's like.
You're very sweet.
And it's like, okay, well, if like 6 of their friends are coming, they're going to want to come. And so, like, I truly, in the last few years, every time it's my birthday, I get paralyzed with like, how do I do this? Because it's like, I want it to be 20 people. And then it's like, but if I invite those five, I have to invite that five.
Yeah, and I think that it was, I mean, when I worked at restaurants, I only hung out with my coworkers. I only hung out with other, quote, chefs and like people in food other than like my high school and or college friends. And then when I worked in magazines, I hung out largely with the people from the magazine. And then when I went freelance, I didn't have any coworkers. So I was sort of less beholden to like a community, and like it just didn't enforce itself. And so also I'm basically 40 now. Like I'm not 28 being like, we all have to hang out every day. Like now I get to
drag me.
Chosen family.
Like, well, wait, well, we're 25.
Yeah.
So we can't really relate to that.
But have fun with that.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. I've never felt better.
Wait, I want to do my little game.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it is going to be a little clunky. I'm going to have to look at my computer. But Allison, I had a sort of idea. I was like, I want to do a fun game, something low pressure, something that combines your work with our podcast. So I thought, how about I want you to rate on a Kinsey scale a variety of your most impactful recipes. And sort of, and we can talk through why, like, if a recipe is bisexual or if a recipe is gay or straight, we can talk through why that might be. Does that sound like a good idea?
Sure, let's try it.
And the Kinsey scale, I'm now trying to remind myself, is it 0 to 6? 0 to 6, 0 being straight.
And 6, and six being gay.
And we're qualifying gay as any denomination of queer.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, I think we
got to update the Kinsey scale to reflect our modern times.
She's running, folks.
Damn.
You are literally, you're Hillary Duff in that commercial where she says, don't say gay.
Don't say gay.
Okay. So I'm going to go sort of like in a random order. All right, let's see. So Allison, brown butter salmon with lemon and harissa.
It's like a 3.
I sort of agree.
How come?
Here's what I think.
Middle of the road.
Middle of the road. But I also think brown butter and harissa is queer, but salmon is such a staple. It's sort of,
it's
like
such a hetero
weeknight. Exactly. Yeah. It's like weeknight dinner. Mom's busy. She's making salmon.
Busy but healthy.
Busy but healthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Busy but loves flavor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spring chicken with crispy leeks.
I want to say like a 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I don't know why. I think that it is like oh, honey, you baked.
Exactly.
Energy.
Yeah.
And leeks are gay.
It's kind of cottage core feeling in a way that's like pretending.
It's like you put on your little polo and you're like, I need a chicken. 100%. Yeah, I think so.
And we've always talked about how like turkey is straight, but then when you make a chicken, you're having chosen family over rather than biological.
Chicken moves the needle.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Creeps up the ladder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would go so far as to say for leeks, okay, let me know if you agree with this. So anything, would you say leeks are in the general onion family, even spiritually?
Oh, yes, I know that they are.
Yes, okay.
Oh.
I don't think it. I know it, honey.
Okay, so here's what I think. It's like basic onions, like a basic yellow onion. Mm-hmm. That's straight. The farther away you get from that, the more queer it becomes.
So because it's like wearing scallions. An outfit.
Exactly.
Sure, yeah.
Scallions,
ramps.
Leeks, ramps. Are you
ramps
kidding
are,
me?
But you know what? Ramps are sort of, they come full circle because their ramp is like an IPA. Ramp is like a smoked pork shoulder. Ramp is like a, you're into that. And that makes it a 0.
Exactly.
Damn, the cycle is so toxic.
And it's also like ramps, there's something that's like corporate branded about. Like you're like, there's dark money there. They became
100%.
Popular because of
they're
dark
available
money.
At Eataly.
Yeah. Okay.
Ramps and pickleball are in cahoots.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh my
1
God.
1,000,000%.
The Venn diagram of people who love ramp butter and people who play pickleball, it's a circle. Okay. Okay. Allison. Oh, this is actually a recent favorite of mine.
Oh.
Spicy chicken piccata.
Not to be like 3, but I think that's a 3.
I think that's a 3.
I think that's a 3-4.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So it's a bisexual menu so far.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, the scale's a scale. The scale doesn't lie.
Now I have 2 final questions, and these are a little more complicated. I'm going to give you, we're going to do your 2 pasta salads and your 3 most famous stews, and I want you to sort of rank them, like with the 2 pasta, we have pasta salad with zucchini, sizzled scallion, and Parmesan, and pasta salad with peas and Parmesan.
Yeah.
So of those, which one would you say is the gayer one?
I would say the peas are gayer.
I agree.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like little tiny.
Well, also it not, this isn't a reflection on the gay community.
Of course.
But the peas,
and it's okay if
one,
it is.
The peas one, it requires like more knife work, but less cooking. And so it's like, you can, any, you know, it's like if you're like, oh, we're going to a BBQ, I need to bring something that I know is going to be a hit, but like, I don't know if I want to like get all before. It's a really good alternative.
Totally. And great impression of a gay guy, by the way.
Thank you. I spent a lot of time with them in research for this podcast.
Of course.
Not because I wanted to. But they're...
Can't stand them.
Yeah.
Their music's crazy.
Yuck.
I had to hang out with them for the research. And let me tell you something, never again.
Oh, at least it was tax deductible.
Just like this outfit.
Okay. I love that. I actually love that because you know what? I think that's what you're saying is a little unexpected, because to me the word sizzled is one of the gayest possible words you could put in a recipe title, and yet peas are gayer.
Peas make it gay.
Yeah, peas make it gay.
I love that.
The zucchini makes it straight.
Zucchini is straight.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. Okay, final question. Your three most famous or at least to my mind,
I think there's three.
It's like the chickpea one, the white bean... Broccoli Rob? No.
Oh, yeah. White bean, white bean green, like spicy white beans too.
And then the
dilly beans.
The
too.
Dilly beans too.
I think we have our answer right there. I think that's a zero, a three, and a five, or a six.
I do think dilly.
Dilly bean stew is the
Yeah, I mean, to have
on.
To say the word dilly.
Dilly. Yeah.
It's like, okay, not only is it gay, it's like three gay guys having an explicit threesome on camera. Like,
that was my inspiration, actually.
You've heard about the, like, eagle paella that they made?
No, stop. I don't want to know about this.
Should we go try together?
Well, they should make an eagle dilly bean stew.
Yeah.
I think they should, too. It would sell.
It would sell. Wow. George, that was a great game.
Thank you.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. It really makes me think.
Thank you for humoring me. It was simple enough that...
No, it was so complicated too, in a good way.
Okay,
we got in there.
Yeah, I think it showed some real truths.
Yeah,
I wasn't prepared to be so vulnerable.
Yeah,
do you need
a tissue, by the way?
And because I'm business minded, I'll ask you one final question. I know your upcoming book is about desserts.
Yes.
So, and of course, I haven't read it yet because I haven't been sent an advanced copy,
which is really a shame. And you should have gotten one. And trust me, that will not happen again. Heads will
fucking roll. Thank you. I know you're sort of on the way out of Gay Man, but like, just send us
one
books,
last job.
And then you don't have to talk to them ever again.
This might be the podcast that turns it all around for me. We don't know. You have a chance to save me.
Of course. So I guess my question would be like, of dessert recipes, let's say famous dessert recipes, or even ones in your book, if you would like to go that route, like, what is the straightest one? What is the gayest one?
I'm going to say that the cover dessert recipe for Sweet Enough, which is crushed raspberries and sour cream, is the gayest dessert.
That's extremely gay.
Wow.
It's so gay.
Yeah.
It is
It's
gay.
Rejecting all norms.
Yeah, it's almost homophobic that you put that on the cover.
I know. No, it says, I welcome you.
There's a dog whistle.
Yeah, there's a... Exactly.
And then I would say... I think a straight dessert is a cake.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Yeah,
totally.
Well, it implies wedding. It implies... child's birthday.
I think also salted butter chocolate chunk shortbread, which is my first famous recipe, period, that happened to
That's
be a dessert.
Straight. No offense.
No, I know. that was like, when that recipe like became famous outside of my doing, really, it was my first peek into like real hetero women, like hetero white women food
blog
culture.
Yeah.
Like
for a while there, you were just a Republican influencer.
Yeah. From sea to shining sea. I saw it all on the internet. I was like, wow, this is a peak in a lot of Christianity.
Yeah,
I
really?
Was like, whoa, yeah, that cookie really crosses borders.
Thank you, at Allison Roman, for supporting Jesus.
Yeah.
It crosses borders and then builds walls.
Yeah, it's to keep you out specifically. Yeah, I'm still allowed, but you guys can't.
Yeah. No, wow. I do think, I feel like, maybe some of you agree. I feel like your first viral stew was what queered your oeuvre.
Why? How so?
It's cottagecore.
It's cottagecore
for
cozy.
Sure.
It's cozy.
It's one pot.
It's very like you live in your apartment, but you're pretending it's a house.
Yeah. You light a candle.
Yeah.
You buy turmeric for the first time. You never forget how that feels.
Actually, thank you. I was trying to find what the thing is. It's turmeric. That is what makes it queer.
Yeah. And a chickpea.
And a chickpea.
Ugh.
Okay.
Wait, question. Do chickpeas have protein?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was actually just talking about this yesterday. They're very high in protein. Most legumes are.
That's like what everyone says, of course. And then at some point in the last couple of years, people keep being like, wait, hummus doesn't have protein? What? I've been lied to my whole life?
Well, it's literally just yesterday we were shooting home movies and we were talking about, or I brought up, like, why do people think chickpeas are healthy? Like, it's like a weird mythology in our our culture of diet and like being obsessed with healthy foods. It's totally. Like, pile on those chickpeas. I'm like, that is like 7,000 calories of chickpeas. And like, per gram of protein that you're getting, like, the math doesn't add up.
Wow.
But I think because it feels indulgent, especially when whipped into a smooth, creamy hummus, people think that it's like a cheat or something.
Yeah. So it's basically like any other bean in terms of...
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. But I think that most people will not celebrate the bean the way they will a chickpea. And I'm on a mission to change that.
Interesting.
That's huge.
What's your favorite bean?
I love a tiny little white bean, a creamy navy bean.
Totally. I'm being 100% earnest.
Yeah, I love like large gigante beans. I like them really tiny or really large.
Wait, Allison, I just made gigante beans. I made like a Greek recipe for it, which is sort of like a tomato based,
like tomato. A little feta.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was delicious.
Yeah, they're good. They're like large and creamy as advertised. And I think that they do feel like substantial. I don't know, substantial.
No, great.
Well, I have to say, I've never heard of these beans.
I was going
to
say, Sam is giving us nothing over here. I'm sorry you've been replaced. This is a foodie podcast.
I have to be completely honest. I have to come out of the closet. I've never cooked a thing in my life.
That's okay.
I don't do it.
Do you enjoy eating?
You know, to an extent. Okay.
To an extent. Wow.
Yeah.
You're not a foodie. Although Sam has a boyfriend who's a real home cook that like.
What do you eat for lunch?
It's actually the hardest.
Allison, don't ask questions you don't want answers to.
Okay.
Lunch is actually the hardest meal on earth.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
100%.
Because I don't want to cook anything, but I don't want to pay $30 to eat something out.
No.
And so I don't know what to do. Literally every single day, I'm sort of like, I'll just eat a horrible sandwich with anything I can find. Mm. But me and my boyfriend are both at home and he hates deli meat. And so truly we are both just like stuck.
A house divided.
Yeah. And so then truly it is a pressure point of like what to get for lunch every single day. And we're like, what?
Have you heard of hummus?
Yeah, you should
high
do hummus.
High in protein. Just
I mean, that's kind of what I do.
Okay.
So I'm struggling. But it is a goal, actually. This year, I've been like...
Lunch
trying
is hard.
To,
I don't... Yeah. I want you to know that even in my position, I struggle. So
What do you do? What is your ideal lunch?
I'm more of like a assemble snacky situation where like I have, you know, like cucumbers on hand and I'll like chop them up and eat them with salt and butter. And then I'll have like... I don't know. I'm like a big leftovers person. Like that's when I'll do like the cold chicken and whatever. I'm big into soups.
Oh, sure.
Do a lot of like tofu soups for lunch with kimchi or something like that.
I love that.
Something that's like very fast and doesn't.
Sure.
Because I'm also not trying to pay $30 for a delivery.
No.
Yeah.
I get so mad.
I'm also like, this money isn't going back into the restaurant or the workers.
No.
There's no ethical consumption under DoorDash.
Say that.
Yeah. Should we get into our topic?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay. So full transparency, I texted George this topic to try to sort of, you know, not be so alternative and sort of be in the lane, but also have something fun that we can all sort of talk about without being good at cooking.
We can all get into this. Yeah.
And so I proposed dinner parties as our straight topic. And Allison, off the bat, you pushed back and said, that's not straight.
Which is fair. Like, I think there's
well, I didn't say that's not straight. I said, is that straight? It was a question.
Well, I wish it was recorded because.
And I didn't actually hear an answer. So I'm happy to play your little game, but I would just say that, like, compared to other topics you've covered,
totally.
I would say that that is sort of just a thing that exists.
That, honestly?
But I don't see sexuality, so. Yeah.
That is, it is true that some of the topics are just things that exist.
Oh, many of them.
Many of them.
But I felt like it was straight because it's...
I'm like poking holes in your whole concept so we can just edit that out.
No, for sure.
No, we love to see the holes. I felt
honey.
Like...
Honey.
Oh, brother.
Oh, honey, I love to see the holes.
Oh, brother. Okay, but I was thinking it was straight because it's like, it's like parents having their friends over, like kids go to basement. Right. Like, kids
oh, you grew up at the basement. That's nice. What's it like? You're rich.
Wow.
Yeah, independently wealthy. We had a basement.
No, it actually, it sort of reminds me of the topic of vacation, because vacation similarly can be either super straight when it's like a family at a resort.
Yes.
Or extremely gay when it's like, you know.
Mykonos.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah.
Sorry. It's a pigeonhole you.
Sure. But I see what you're saying. It's and actually now reframing it like that, like a parents having a dinner party, that is one of the, and then it's like the pain of like one of the couples having a kid that's your age and you having to be like, I'm George, and then being expected to like hang out with that kid all night.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard to talk to children.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand.
And even like there's something about like it's such a couple-based event,
yes.
The dinner party,
yeah,
which does feel straighter to me. Even though, of course, I understand that gay people can be in relationships. Heck, I'm in one, but I'm a shining example of what a gay person can do when they put their mind to anything.
No, you are right, though, that it's like a celebration of the nuclear family.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. sort of built my whole career on this concept of having them, but now I'm rethinking everything.
But you have queered it, Allison. Without you, it would just be straight couples.
Oh, well, I'll take that. I am proud.
I feel like, especially growing up, there was no pressure to make good food at a dinner party. It was like, we're making a pasta salad, and honey, it doesn't have anything sizzled on it.
don't even know.
Yeah. Yes.
It's also a space where you can't be honest, which you can't, like, if the food is bad or even medium, you have to be like, this is amazing.
No, it's perfect.
Yeah.
No, I know. I know. And it happens to me all the time. And this sort of circles back to our first part of the convo, which is when I cook for other people, especially if it's, you know, mixed company, right? I'm not as familiar with them. I feel like people are going to go back to wherever they came from and say, I actually went to a dinner party and Allison Roman was cooking and like that thing was burnt or it was too salty or it was blah, blah, blah. Like I am so afraid of that happening, and I'm sure that it has, that it prevents me from wanting to continue.
Oh, that is terrifying.
When I was just doing this as like coming up in my career and it was like I was building it, it was fun and carefree and like mistakes were part of the charm. And now I'm like up at 3:30 in the morning thinking about how the thing wasn't right.
Totally. Yeah.
Wow.
It's like someone going home and being like, that's mother?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's awful. Awful to be mother.
Have you had, I mean, I'm sure at some point you must have, but like, have you had an experience where you truly, something went wrong and like there was no, it was too late and you served something you knew was bad?
It happens in when I'm like grilling or cooking with fire, which is very niche thing to say. It doesn't happen often, but because I'm less familiar with that as like a cooking technique, I tend to like undercook something or overcook something, or I'm like, you know, whatever. So I'd say I err on the side of under than over. Like if I'm doing like a big cut of meat, like a big leg of lamb.
Totally.
You know, over open fire in the summertime. If you guys want to come over sometime in July.
I would love.
But I'll be like, oh, I think it's done. And then I'll start carving it. I'm like, oh, fuck, raw as hell. And so I'll put it back on the fire pretend like it's part of the process. And like most of the time, I don't think people interpret that as me being inept, but I do internalize it as a personal failing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's sort of your version of bombing at the bar show.
Yeah, bombing at the bar show.
Or just like meeting somebody and not feeling on. Totally. Where they're like, I thought you were a comedian. Like, I thought you were charming.
Oh, 100%.
I thought you were a host. Yeah. Like, and you're like, well, I'm not right now, you know? And so,
Yeah, and also I'm tired and drunk.
And high. And
high.
And I didn't eat anything for lunch.
Also, by the way, I have a drug problem, so.
Yeah, I'm fucked out of my mind. Hope that's okay. Sorry, I can't dance for you.
Anyway, welcome to the Red Room. Okay.
Wow.
So I'm almost like, sorry, what were you going to say?
I have another dinner party thing.
Please.
Which I went to one last weekend. Mm-hmm.
Was it gay or straight?
It was straight. It was very straight.
That's shocking for you.
It was a departure. And I knew, and it actually made me think of this topic and sort of made me like like I was overthinking it before I went there because I was like, what do I wear? And it was like, well, if it were a gay dinner party, I would wear something more playful, but it's a straight
a mesh
one.
Mesh top and a thong.
But it's a straight
the ball
one.
In my mouth.
Yeah, no food. So I actually was thinking, like, when you go to a dinner party, what sort of like type of yourself do you like to project? Because I was like, do I want to be like dressed up? Because they didn't say like it's this kind of dinner party. It was just like these are friends.
Yes.
And so I was like, I could either be the person that like makes it too nice, like dresses a little too nice and is like annoyed that it's not going perfectly, or I could be the person that is like dressed too casually and like, you know, wearing a ripped t-shirt and everyone being worried is going to leave at any moment.
Totally.
And
wow, I've
so it's sort of etiquette. Yeah, it's sort of you're asking, actually this is a really smart way about it, is like etiquette of being a guest rather than being a host, because you would expect that we would ask you about hosting,
right? Wow, tables turned.
But the tables have turned. You're coming to our dinner party. What's the vibe?
I think that I want to look like as good as I'd want to look at a restaurant. And I want to like look put together, but not annoyingly so. But that's I don't run that risk very often. But I also think I do like a good move, like in the summer, like a high low, like a good earring, a lip, a white t-shirt, jeans, like a cute shoe.
Yeah,
sure. But the shoe, I've noticed that, you know, you can't rely on your outfit for the shoe, which is a very 100% straight thing
it
to
is.
Worry about.
It is.
But because a lot of people make you take your shoes off.
That
you
is
can't
actually,
have the outfit be ruined.
That is really one of the saddest things in our, in terms of things that happen at homes.
Yeah. Like if I'm doing white t-shirt, high-waisted blue jeans, because I'm wearing like a sick red heel,
exactly.
And the heel comes off and then I look like an asshole.
Yeah.
So like we got to plan ahead for that.
Yeah. I mean, this particular dinner party, the weirdest thing is I was like, it's a shoes off household. Like be ready for
that.
Oh,
you already knew that. Okay.
I knew that. And then I got there and they're like, you can keep your shoes on. And I was like, well, I wore stupid shoes because I knew I would take them off as soon as I got here.
Yeah. Also the socks you're wearing, you don't want to be caught in bad socks. Or
that
no
is
socks.
A danger. Yeah.
Actually, I find it to be kind of a power move to wear bad socks.
Really?
Yeah. I have a friend who brings over his own house shoes to my house because he knows that I ask him to take them. Actually, I have two friends that do that.
That's
one of them's gay, one of them's not.
Wow.
That is so beautiful.
Talk about bipartisanship.
I think that's
running.
I think that's amazing. That is truly the fantasy to have little house slippers.
Oh, I think that if I'm ever very rich, I will have a full catalog of like range of size, like L.L. Bean, like
oh, you didn't
stitched.
Have that growing up?
Yeah.
I had that in my basement.
Yeah, the whole basement was dedicated to just shoes for guests.
Yeah. Except when the children had to go down there. But yeah, I feel like that's such a classy touch.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not there, but no. I'll let you know.
I have like three pairs of Crocs by the we have like a backyard and I have three pairs of Crocs by the backyard.
Still wealthy, I see.
Yeah. couldn't shake that old
Well, mommy and daddy knew I had to be set up right. They said, you're going to Bushwick, babe, and you're getting a backyard. But I do have three pairs of Crocs that it's like, if you're visiting, like, so you're not tracking in and out mud, you can wear the Crocs.
Yeah, I
and
think
it's amazing.
The purpose of the Croc.
Okay.
Wow.
No, I just mean, you're like, no, but I have them because, but they're not for guests.
No, they are.
Oh, they are.
How many do you have?
Three.
Oh.
So he's only having one person over at a time.
Got it.
Because you and your boyfriend.
Well, and I
it's
have
for
like,
having threesomes.
Yeah. Oh, these are the threesome Crocs.
You really cracked that code. No mud during a threesome.
Yeah.
Unless we want it.
Wow. Okay. We've really created an unsafe space today in a way that I'm pretty impressed by.
I'm on cloud nine.
I'm like, you know, with someone that, you know, we don't personally know.
I disagree. I've met Allison twice.
Yeah, we did hug mere weeks ago.
That's true. Well, you know, with some people that we don't know as well, with some people that we consider mother rather than, you know, sister. it is sometimes, you know, you're sort of like trying to be polite and you're sort of, you know, how do we get our natural rhythm in here? And oh, baby, I did not have to worry about that one bit.
Oh,
in fact,
you.
I was like, I'm scared.
Let me tell you something. I mean, we are hesitant often to do non-comedian guests. And it's like, you know, we can count on two. It's like Gia Tolentino, Jeremy O'Harris, Andrea Long Chu. Like who? You know, it's like maybe
name droppy.
I know.
Sorry, we'll bleep them.
No, those are all amazing people.
But I'm just saying,
very funny people.
Very funny people.
Minds of a generation and funny.
Sure.
But it's tough because I've thought of other people that I would love to like have a conversation with that would flop on the podcast, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we would flop talking to them. It would be mutual.
Yeah, they're not always it's not always a fit.
Yeah. No. I was like, as you know. At some point someone was like, "Who's your dream guest?" and I just instinctively said Sarah Jessica Parker. and then I was like,
"No.
She would not be good."
You want Carrie. You don't want Sarah Jessica Parker.
Exactly. although Carrie famously is a bad podcaster on And Just Like That.
Well, she improves.
But she improves.
She improves. She finds her voice. Starts to be honest and vulnerable.
Yeah. What a beautiful arc. I hope that's in the cards for us.
Yeah. Oh, I would love that.
Not today.
We need a Che Diaz. So back to dinner parties. Wait. What are the biggest flops you've seen happen at dinner parties?
I mean, under-seasoned food is an epidemic.
Yeah.
And I would say dinner party or not, that's the biggest issue for me. Or not having music on at all.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, what?
That happens a lot.
It happens all the time.
That's actually one of the weirder things.
Well, honestly, not having music and overhead lighting, I would say, are...
Bad lighting, no music, yeah. Running out of wine.
Running out of wine. Can you imagine?
Inexcusable. I actually had I attended a dinner party once where... a host purposefully stopped serving alcohol to signal it's time to leave.
No.
They read that in a book somewhere, toxic.
It's like you keep putting the fresh bottle of wine out, people are laughing, and then no more wine, full wine, and you can see the bottles. We didn't run out. They stopped putting it out.
Oh
my God.
The idea that you would ever like choose to prematurely end your own dinner party is so...
Like, is it time to leave? I'm so sorry.
And I don't want to be racist. That is WASP.
Oh, 1,000%.
You're literally being Blue Lives Matter if you choose to end your dinner party before it's time.
Well, that's the thing. It's like in the canon of things that we take as truths in our young, sweet lives, it's like you go to dinner, you split the fucking check. You host people, you let them leave when they're leaving. You don't get to decide that. There are at least 4 people listening right now that have been like, you have told me to leave your home multiple times, but I'm like, babe, it's like 3 a.m. and you have to go.
Right. And of course, if it's like, if you're having real, you know, like your friends who are family over, you can be a little like...
Chosen family.
Of course. Thank you. okay. So yes, lighting. God, I
have an etiquette question.
Yes,
I'm curious what you all think. Between arrival, like drinks, and dinner being served, what is the normal, what is like your preferred time from drinks to dinner?
I would say I like a nice 45 to 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that allows for people to trickle in if they're not on time, which not everybody will be. It also allows for a snack hour. Although in my old age, I've sort of cooled it on the snacks.
Really?
People get too full.
Yeah.
No, it's very
And
true.
It's like a whole, it's like more complicated than any like of the dinner part. It's like there have to be at least 6 people coming over for me to make a snack.
Well, I sort of thought, I can't remember where you did this, but I think maybe your Thanksgiving video, you had like little, like a toothpick with like an anchovy and a
little pepper.
And I'm like, oh,
gay,
that's...
gay little pepper.
Talk about a gay snack, by the way. But I'm like, that's the solution. Like, rather than having a whole thing of appetizers, have literal tiny little
people
snacks.
Are out here with like a half a wheel of cheese.
No.
And like, that's fine if then that is your dinner.
Yeah.
But
it becomes so fun to buy that. Like,
I love a cheese plate. A little baguette. But I think that to do that before you're going to serve like chicken and potato and a salad, it's like... it's too much food.
I'm
really scaling back. I think that I've been over-serving people for decades.
Wow, fascinating. Wow. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Making amends.
The bold apology.
This is my mea culpa. Page 6. That's
a
nominal
apology tour.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, wow. Interesting.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit-tested for all-day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Oh, I have a question for you. My Italian friend told me that you're supposed to eat pasta first and then salad.
That's how they do it in Italy. They do. I mean, they mostly serve salad post anything in Europe. Salad is the end, not the beginning. It's a very American thing to do at the beginning.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's interesting because my family's from Greece, and for whatever reason, Greece is more American. Like, Greece does salad in the beginning.
Well, it's a very salad-heavy culture. They make meals of salads way that I feel like they don't in Italy or France.
Well, Greek culture is like, it's salad, and then it's like the most overcooked piece of meat you've ever seen in your entire life.
Oh,
and it's
leathery,
like
charred. It is. But grilled over a vine.
Yes. You know? But it's truly like one of those, it's like when I go back, I'm like, you guys need God.
You have family that lived there.
I went to high school there.
In Greece?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I did not know that.
Isn't that fun?
Where?
In Athens.
Wow, yeah. I loved Athens.
We like moved back and forth, so that's why I don't have an accent or anything, but I went to high school.
Or you're a fraud.
He's been lying.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but that is the one, because I love Greek food, but they can't, I mean, when I tell you the meat is over, it is literally like ash.
Yeah, it's a charred culture with regards to meat. But
that's,
I love
crazy.
Greek food. I mean, dill.
Yeah.
One word, dill.
Dill. I mean, zucchini that we were talking about before. I feel like there are some Greek overlaps with your cooking.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's very much in my oeuvre.
Oeuvre. We've been saying that a lot today.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
Wait, you were going to ask me a question, though.
Was I?
You said
something about your Italian friend.
Oh, it was salad.
Yeah. I think I would tell your Italian friend that in America, he needs to respect American culture.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I think an easy way to solve that is you just serve everything at the same time.
Totally.
I'm not coursing it out. This isn't a ristorante. You're coming to my house.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that, because I actually do get, when people course it out at a dinner party, you're like, relax.
No way. You could never in a century catch me doing that, ever.
How do you feel, though, about making a soup? Because when you do a soup...
No soup for dinner parties at all.
I'm clapping.
I'm also... Please.
Honk the horn.
No soup for dinner parties.
Bring back the going off
alarm.
Ring the going off alarm.
The only thing worse than soup at a dinner party is if it's a fucking gazpacho or cold chilled soup. Not acceptable.
I completely agree with you. And this is coming from you're someone who likes soup.
I love soup. I love stew. I love soup. Yeah. I love broth. I eat it weekly. I celebrate it.
Yeah. So you wouldn't even do, as an amuse-bouche, like a tiny little shot glass of gazpacho.
That's disgusting. That is so gross to me.
Actually, as soon as it's in a shot glass, I'm like, okay, fun.
No.
Okay.
I'm like, that would be a gay dinner party.
No. This is a Senor Frogs? Absolutely not.
This is a big rule. Okay. Okay. This is so important to know.
No soups at dinner parties.
Somebody will find a way to make that, like, that take.
Yeah.
It's like, too harsh.
Yeah.
Somebody will be like, well, in this place, people... I'm like, okay.
We're going to do that, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
to increase listenership.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to take everything you said out of context.
You're going to just
We're going to rearrange the whole podcast.
Yeah. I hate gays.
Yeah.
Okay, any other... Actually, I love this. Any other red flags or, like, definitely don't do food-wise? No soup, no gazpacho.
Gosh, I'm trying to think.
How do you feel about having a sort of thing where people have to make something themselves, like a taco bar?
I did a hard shell taco night the other night.
Killed. That's fun.
It was great. I think you just have to have a game plan ahead of time so people aren't like, can you pass me? No. Yeah, the other one. Excuse me. Like, no, we don't like have like a separate station where people are then able to like freely assemble at will. I love that style for dinner parties because it takes a lot of the pressure off the host.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I like eating that way too. So I like it as a guest as well.
Yeah.
So maybe you'd like the Stradiolab created meal sleeves.
Oh, right. So so do you want to explain
more.
Sleeves?
Yeah, say more.
This is actually Sam's doing. I am not part of this business. Sam and our friend Julio, who, by the way, also doesn't cook at all. Like to the point where you're like, what do you eat? One time I asked Julio was like, yeah, I'll have like tempeh over the sink for dinner.
Tempeh over the sink? Is that a performance piece? Like, what are we?
Yeah, and honey, the reviews are not good.
Yeah, we went to Fire Island and we're challenged.
Classic.
I cannot believe we are.
I have to explain.
No, I love it.
Sleeves. I need to know.
So we were tasked with making dinner as sort of a joke.
I'm pulling up the photo of it. Just
okay. And
wait, sorry, back up. Somebody tasked you with making dinner as a joke, like as a bit?
Yeah, it was like a house. But like 50% comedians, and it was like, oh,
funny group.
Toxic.
It would be funny if like Sam and Julio made dinner because neither of them know how to cook and no one's allowed to help them and they just have to figure it out.
Well, that seems like a recipe for food waste. And that's not funny. So
and so we went to the grocery store and I was like, okay, well, like we can figure out like a taco situation, like that will be easy. And Julio was like, no, like I don't want to do something that's like done. Like, what if we just buy
that's
stuff?
Your department.
Tell me about it. You think I'm alt?
Yeah.
Truly.
And it was like, okay, he's just started picking up random things like pre-made meatballs, like,
oh wow,
like beans, just sort of like whatever spoke to him.
This is someone who has never cooked any. I mean,
they are approaching it like an art.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we decided to make sort of a millennial startup called Brooklyn Sleeve Co.
I found it.
Where we had different different wraps, different fillings.
Oh so, my god. Diet sleeve.
I'm showing Allison the photo.
Normal sleeve.
So there's normal, diet, and
All American. And in a large sleeve.
You could get Italian, you could get all American, or you could get normal.
Okay, so to the viewers at home, the sleeve is the vessel.
Yes,
exactly. So the sleeve is the vessel.
We have a corn tortilla, which is normal. We have all American, which appears to be a flour tortilla, and then the diet sleeve, which is two little perfect petals of iceberg lettuce. And some what looked to be unpitted Kalamata olives.
Allison, would you put something like that in your next book?
Yeah, could we have some really exciting investors lined up. Do you want to like maybe promote it on your channel?
You did ask me earlier if there were any partnerships I would not consider. And now sleeves is
Brooklyn
at the top
Sleeve
of
Co.
my list.
Yeah, Brooklyn Sleeve Co. is at the top of your list.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
I'm so glad I got to tell you about sleeves.
Remember there was that restaurant in the Lower East Side called Wolf Nights? It was like on Orchard and something.
What was the sort of premise?
Wraps. Sleeves.
No.
Anyway, but it was called Wolf.
No, as we've mentioned, we don't do unoriginal
sleeves
things.
Sleeves are very different from a wrap. I thought you were a food person.
This reminded me of Wolf Nights, an absurd name for a sleeve
terrible
or wrap based restaurant. I don't. It might still be there. Good luck to
well,
them.
Well, if it is, then we support all small businesses on this podcast.
Should we do our final?
Oh
segment?
My god, I think we have
to.
How
sad.
I know.
I'm literally like, why can't we keep going for 3 more hours?
Because people have kids.
We're not starving. Us, but
yeah.
Okay. Do you want to introduce the segment?
Yes.
Okay.
Our final segment is called Shoutouts, and in it, we pay homage to the grand straight tradition of the radio shoutout, which actually in the studio feels way more real.
It doesn't feel like a bit at all.
No. It kind of loses its bitness. Yeah. But we shout out to anything that we enjoy, sort of in the style of the radio shoutout, in the style of it's 2001, you're at TRL, shouting out to your squad back home, but about something that you're liking.
Yeah.
And I actually came prepared with one that's so embarrassing based on our conversation.
Okay.
And I thought about changing it, but then I'm like, you know what? Live out loud. Be yourself. And I can go first.
Go for it.
Okay. This is completely unrelated to everything and embarrassing. What's up, freaks, losers, and perverts? I want to give a huge and hearty shout out, a vulnerable and honest shout out to a meme account that I follow. That's right. I follow a meme account called Northwest underscore MCM underscore wholesale. And I am telling you, I feel so seen by this meme account. I am reading it and I'm laughing. I'm hitting the three dots and saying share and saying, and I text Misha, this is from that meme account I always talk about. And he's like, ha, I don't know if I get it. And I'm like, trust me. Like, it's good. You're just not on the cutting edge. And memes, you know, you can fight them all you want, but eventually there's going to be a meme that sort of understands you, and it's better to just get on board quick. If you are edgy, if you are alt, this is the meme account for you. You are not edgy and alt anymore because now there's a meme account for you. I love you, that one meme account. XOXO, Sam.
Wow.
I do like that meme account. It's very funny.
I've never even heard of it.
And memes are here to stay.
Yeah. I agree.
You know, yeah, we can't shake them.
It's sort of crazy that they are quite literally putting comedians out of business. I mean,
are they though?
Pre-meme,
that's scarcity mentality, and we don't support that.
No, you're right.
Thank you.
It's true. Okay.
Did you come prepared? Because I didn't.
No, I didn't. Oh, okay. No. It's sort of part of the segment that we like think of them.
Oh, well, someone didn't get the memo if it's part of the segment to not be prepared because someone was reading from their phone a full speech.
No, I wasn't reading. No, the speech. I was reading the name of the meme account. That's all it was. I didn't read anything else.
I'm like looking here for inspiration, and the last thing I googled was Alison Roman pasta salad for this game. I'm like, well, I'm not shouting that out.
I wrote it. There's a new one coming this summer. Don't worry.
A new pasta salad? Ruh-roh.
Okay. All right. All right. What's up, LGBTQ+ family? I want to give a quick shout out to this woman, Agnes Callard, who I read about in that New Yorker profile. She is a philosophy professor who lives with her ex-husband and her husband. She started fucking her grad student and then decided that it was a sign of philosophical enlightenment. And honey, she's getting away with it. She's in the New Yorker. I love that she is a full-on adult woman with three grown kids, and she is still living that Hannah Horvath lifestyle. She is still doing self-discovery. She is still instilling everything with meaning, even when she's quite literally just fucking her grad student. I think we could all use a little bit more of that in our lives. I can't forget to self-mythologize every single second of every day, and then one day I'll be profiled in the New Yorker. Woo!
That was inspiring.
Thank you.
That was good. I do like
that. Did you read that?
No, but I want to, because that's also my final form.
Yeah.
Not the fucking the grad student, but I do feel like women, like, past a certain age are allowed to, like, really break through the red room, as it were, and like, fully realize the person you were always meant to be. Because
totally.
Once you're no longer, like, fuckable or a threat, mm-hmm. then you can be yourself and people think it's funny and charming.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah.
I love
wow.
that.
Yeah, sorry.
I guess, you know why, that's sort of why, not to state the obvious, but that's sort of why people in our community are drawn to older character actresses. It's like,
yeah.
You know, you know,
Jean
it's
Smart.
Like, yeah,
we love
exactly.
Her.
Judith Light.
Yeah, Judith Light, an icon.
An icon, sure.
Sometimes George is making up women's names.
Sam is not an actress gay, you know.
And it shows.
Not a home cook, not an actress gay.
What kind of gay are you?
Yeah,
that's a great question.
I'll tell you what kind of gay Sam is. Sam is like the kind of gay that loves like a gay vacation destination. Like he loves Fire Island. He loves like going to like.
Yeah.
What's the other, what are other gay vacation destinations that
Take
are not
away.
Fire Island specific?
The other day I was literally
where
like,
do the gays
you?
In California go?
Palm Springs.
No.
Oh, well,
and then in Northern California, Guerneville. Have you ever been there?
Oh yeah. I used to live in San Francisco.
Oh.
Me too. But Guerneville, I mean now it's become truly like Brooklyn, but I feel like
Guerneville?
That was like. Yeah. They have like glamping and like.
I've been actual camping there, but this was like 20 years ago.
No, they truly, it's like all farm to table. I mean, you know, branded
B&B. Say more.
Yeah. Have you heard of it? No, but Guerneville, actually, you would love Guerneville because it's sort of like bear centric gay.
Slay.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but you were saying the other day I asked Sam, like, so what are you doing this summer? And he listed. Literally seven destinations that had the word gay in them. Do you want to list them again?
Well, I have to go to Fire Island. I have to go to the gay campground in Pennsylvania. I have to go to the gay swimming hole in Vermont. I have to go to Jacob Riis, of course.
Yeah, that was on my list.
Well, now you have to go to Guerneville, Palm Springs.
Well, and summer comes but once a year. George was like, Mykonos. we should work this summer. And I was like, summer's just really hard for me.
Yeah.
We're trying to plan like two out of town live shows. And Sam's like, well, I don't know.
It's so hard.
Not in August, honey.
Not in June through August.
No.
In May, I'm all yours.
Well, June is a little cold in most places. So honestly, it's like July, August, September are the choice months you want to protect at all costs.
September's underrated.
September is underrated.
Phenomenal vacation month.
Great month.
Yeah.
And cheaper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Allison, whenever you're ready.
Listen, I'm not prepared for this.
Neither was I.
And I can't do it the way you did it.
That's fine. Okay. That's totally fine. You have to make it your own.
Yeah, it's not for me. So I think just be...
Please.
It's got to be Barry's Bootcamp and Rachel Comey for me.
100%.
I really appreciate how today you made me feel. Those experiences are far and few between. And when you do have that special time for yourself, you want to feel like you can get sweaty. Mm-hmm. And you want to feel like somebody's yelling at you and you're running to a Zed track circa 2014.
I'm listening.
Remix with Drake.
That's
remix
the type
with,
of gay I am.
Yeah. And then afterwards, you want to say, I accomplished something. I did a thing. And now I'm going to buy myself a tasteful sweater.
Wow.
I love that.
I have to say, thank you to sponsors Barry's and Rachel Comey.
And J. Crew.
And J. Crew.
Comey. Yeah.
And Chris Black.
And Chris Black.
Actually,
vis-a-vis J. Crew.
Literally, if Chris.
And Barry's, actually. Shout out to Chris Black.
If Chris Black could fund our podcast, we would be very happy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
And something tells me he has the cash.
Those Barry glasses are not cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
Well, Allison, this has been an absolute delight.
Yeah,
my favorite podcast I've ever recorded.
I mean,
a delight.
I mean, this is insane. This is going to be.
This is a Hall of Fame episode.
This is a Hall of Fame episode.
I hope so. There's a lot of pressure. I was feeling like. Also, I guess anyone listening would know that this happened because the fans demanded it.
Yes, the fans demanded it on multiple platforms.
Yeah, they were like, bring her on.
Literally three platforms.
Yeah. And then don't you think it's weird that I said, I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then I ran into you for the first time.
I know. It's crazy.
That is crazy, actually.
Cosmic.
Yeah. That was. Yeah.
We were at a cool art show.
We were at a cool art show.
Yeah, very downtown.
Wow. Downtown.
I love that.
Yeah, we manifested. Well, thank you also for having me.
Of course.
Ungrateful. This is like a delight. And I know that the episodes are covetable.
They are very covetable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't
and
just have anyone on.
A lot of people have. We've turned down a lot of people, including Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, she keeps begging.
And Carrie.
And Shay Diaz. Well, Allison, I have to say. Do you want to plug your book?
And I do. Yeah, I have a new book out. It's called Sweet Enough. It's desserts for people who don't really do dessert. Mm-hmm. And so if you're like, I cook, but I don't bake, I feel like you'll still love this book. And if you are like, absolutely not, then there's two other books to choose from. And a newsletter and a YouTube channel, and it's a multi-hyphenate situation over here.
Love that.
Wow. Yeah. Singer, actress, rapper.
I'm Tonying in a modern media world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or EGOTing.
Yeah,
Tonying.
You're Tonying.
I'm Tony.
I'm Tonying. It's such an honor to Tony.
I am one Tony away from Tonying.
Well,
All it takes is one.
Shout out to the modern media world and shout out to Allison Roman.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.